We're reading today from 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 7. Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed with rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for believers in Jerusalem. They did even more than we had hoped, for their action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. So we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry of giving. Since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, in your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. The word of God for the people of God.
You may be seated. Good morning. As you can see, my wireless mic still is not quite working right. We haven't quite figured out what the issue is with that challenge. We get one thing figured out and something else happens, but we'll get it figured out. It might be just we need to get a new microphone. I don't know. But yes, Tommy, is there something? Ken's mic gets sound, but mine doesn't. Explain that one to me. So Facebook can hear this. Of course, you'll have to wait for 3 seconds for it to go through Facebook. Test, test, test. All right, you'll have to let me know. Of course, that means I got to play with this cord. All right. Yes, Facebook can hear this one. All right. So we don't want our Facebook people to be like, I can't read your lips well enough. All right. We'll have to figure out that one as well. All right. Well, good morning, and welcome again to the Living Water Church. And today we're continuing our teaching series on the life of Paul, where we're looking at some essential qualities that we find in his life, that if we can grab a hold of them and we can understand them and apply it to our lives, that we can have richer, fuller relationship with Jesus. And today I want to look at a quality that can be a challenge for us to deal with, and that is the essential quality of generosity. Because this subject just is so deeply personal to us. And it challenges us. God likes to challenge us in this area, and we struggle with it. We just do. And so I hope that you can kind of come at this subject with an open heart, open mind, and just see what God has to say to you today on this subject of generosity and creating this essential element in our life. So go ahead and grab your message notes. If you got a pen or a pencil, you can take some notes as we go through this. And as we get started, one of the clearest examples of Paul's generosity happens when we see his heart that he had for the struggling church in Jerusalem. And so let me just kind of set you the scene for you. We just heard the passage of where this comes from. But it was just a couple of decades after Jesus had died on the cross and rose from the dead and then ascended into heaven. Just a couple of decades after this, the church in Jerusalem had really taken off. I mean, it was just growing like crazy. People were coming to faith in Jesus, and that was all great. But as the church got larger, it also became a bigger threat to the power structure that was in Jerusalem. And so the church came under great persecution during this time. Some of these Christians, they were being beaten, they were being arrested, some were even being killed for their faith. And soon, some of these Christians were even being kicked out of their families and out of Jewish society, so they couldn't get a job. And because these Christians couldn't work, they were becoming poor. And the church, as a result, was becoming very poor, and it was just under this great persecution, and it was quite a predicament for the church. And so Paul saw this, and his heart just went out to them, and he wanted to do something about this. And at this time that this is happening, Paul, he's traveling around Asia Minor and Greece, and he's starting these new churches, and these new churches are growing, and they're in areas where there's not as much persecution against Christians. So Paul goes back to these churches that he had started, and he says, hey, I want you to give. I want you to be generous to these hurting believers in Jerusalem. Now, keep in mind that these churches he started, these are new Christians. They haven't been Christians for very long. They probably had never been to Jerusalem. They probably didn't know anyone from Jerusalem. Yet these churches gave so generously that Paul was able to take this huge offering back to Jerusalem, and it just met the needs of this church. Just incredibly powerful story of how God can move in unique ways when we develop this essential quality of generosity. In fact, that's the big principle for today's message, that God is generous. And he wants to, and when you allow God to develop this essential quality of generosity in your life, God will grow your faith, and he will bless your life, and he's going to use that blessings that he give you to bless others. And so that is the whole process of what generosity is about. And so our key verse for today in your notes is from Paul. He wrote this, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7, talks about this quality of generosity. So let's just go ahead and read this verse out loud together as we get started. It starts with the words, since you excel. See the verse, if we can put that up there on the screen, since you excel, there it is. Let's read this out loud. Since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love for us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. Would you underline that last phrase? I want you to excel in this gracious act of giving. Paul wanted the church to learn this essential quality of generosity. Now, why is it so important for us to be generous? Well, there are three reasons that God wants you to be generous. Three reasons why. Now, the first one is to avoid pain. God gives us his financial principles so that we can avoid the pain of debt and the stress and financial conflict that comes with money. When God is in control of your life and you're following his principles for handling money, you avoid so many of the financial traps that people fall into. And God says, I want you to be generous so you can avoid the pain of not following my principles. Here's the second reason that he wants us to be generous, and that is to enjoy God's blessings. See, generosity opens the door to God's blessing in your life. Now, sometimes God's blessings are actual tangible blessings. This is when God blesses you financially because he knows that you're going to use it wisely and generously. But also, many times, God blesses you in all these intangible ways when you're generous, like less stress in your life, or more peace, or a stronger family, or a better marriage, or seeing God's hand move because of your faithfulness. There's so many ways God blesses you when you are generous. And then the third reason you should be generous is because it grows your faith. See, God is a generous God, and part of becoming a fully developed follower of Jesus is learning to grow in your generosity. And our level of generosity, it says a lot about our relationship with God. The more you develop this quality of generosity, the closer to God you will grow. The more you learn to depend upon God, the more you see God working through your life, and the more your life is blessed by him so that you can bless others. And Paul just was this incredibly generous person. He traveled around Asia Minor and Greece all at his own expense to reach people as he started these new churches. And he taught this principle of generosity to these churches that he started. And in fact, today through his letters, Paul is still teaching us the importance of the essential quality of generosity. So how do I excel at giving? How do I develop this essential quality of generosity in my own life? And that's what I want us to look at today. So in your notes, how do I develop this essential quality of generosity? Here's the first step, the first baby step to kind of getting onto this process, and that is to decide to give
an identifiable initial gift to God. Decide to give an identifiable initial gift to God. In other words, you just get started by giving something to God. That's the first baby step. If you've never given, or if it's been a long time since you've given, this is key because your money has this incredible ability to reveal what or who is most important in your life. Look at the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. He says, "Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be." Notice what he says in there. Okay? Jesus doesn't say where your heart is, there your treasure is going to be. Jesus doesn't say whatever you love, that is where your money is going to go. He actually says the opposite of this. He says where you invest your money, whatever you give towards, wherever you put your treasure, then your heart is going to follow there. Whatever you invest in, whatever you give towards, that is what's going to be most important in your life. And so if you want your relationship with God to be the most important thing, then you invest in the things of God and your heart follows that investment. Now, what do I mean by an identifiable initial gift to God? Well, it's interesting if you go back to the early church, how they gave. When it came time to offerings in the early church, what they did was they'd take their offerings and they'd bring it up front and they'd put it at the leader's feet. Now, I'm so glad we don't take offerings that way anymore. That would just kind of be embarrassing and or a little bit awkward if we took offerings that way. But there are many ways that you can give an identifiable gift today. You can do it by just putting it in an envelope. You know, put some money in an envelope, put your name on it, and it's identifiable. We know it comes from you. You can put a check in the offering. You can give by texting. You can go to the website and give that way. But all of these are identifiable ways to give to God. So the important thing just is don't just anonymously put cash in the offering plate if you attend on Sunday. But use an offering envelope or a check or give by texting or online, and that helps you hold yourself accountable because you know how much you're giving. And see, if you've never given or if it's been a long time since you're giving, let me encourage you just to get started. Put something in the plate. It really doesn't matter on how much, 5, 10, 20, whatever it is, just to get started and give with gratitude for all that God has given to you, all the things he's done in your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Paul writes these words, "You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, he had everything. He's in heaven, he's God. Yet for our sakes, he became poor. He gave it all up so that by his poverty, he could make you rich." And of course, he's not talking about financially rich. He's talking about rich in life, rich in grace, rich in mercy and joy and all the things that we get as we become believers in Jesus Christ. And so, as we see this, our first step to generosity is to give something, to give an initial identifiable gift. And here's the next step to learning generosity in your life, and that is determined to give regularly as income comes into my life. Determine to give regularly as income comes into my life. So the first level of generosity is just to give something. The next step then is to make that a regular part of your life as God blesses you with income. So here's Paul's advice to the church he started in Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, it says, "On the first day of each week, you should put aside a portion of the money you have earned." Now, Paul is talking about giving a weekly offering. But notice, Paul says, on the first day of each week. Would you circle those two first words, the first day? Okay, in Paul's time, people were paid every week on the last day of the work week. And so Paul is saying, as soon as you're paid on the first day of the week, then return a portion of what you were paid back to God. But then also notice that he says, on the first day of each week. So circle that word, each. Okay? Each carries with it regularity. All right? Paul is saying that generosity should become a regular part of your life. And so whenever God blesses you with income, return a part of that back to him. Now, this is different for all of us. You know, if you're out of work right now, you might not have any income coming in, and so you wouldn't give anything because you don't have anything to give from. And that happens sometimes. We go into those cycles where there is no income. But if you're paid weekly, then you give weekly. If you're paid monthly, then you give once a month or twice a month. Or some people are paid when they make a sale or when they have a gig or whatever it is. When money comes in, then you give a portion back to God. Now, maybe you've had good intentions about this. But then you know what happens. Life happens. You get busy, you get distracted, you know, you have a work trip or you go on vacation, and you have the right intention to give, but you forget and you just get behind in it. And that's actually what happened at the church in Corinth. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 10, and look what he says about getting distracted. He says, last year, you were the first who wanted to give, and you were the first to begin doing it. So remember, he's talking about this collection they're taking for this church in Jerusalem. And he says the Corinthians were very generous at first, but then they got distracted. So Paul continues, now you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched now by your giving. Give in proportion to what you have. So Paul is saying it's time to get back on track with your giving. And, you know, the same thing can happen to us as well. We start with good intentions, and then we get stuck. We get off track. And so, you know, if that's you, let me encourage you to get back on track with your giving. And a great way to be consistent is just consider automating your giving. Okay, after all, we automate the things that are most important in our lives, don't we? We automate the electric bill. We automate our cell phone bill. We automate the internet and the Netflix bill. You know, heaven forbid one of those would not get paid and get turned off. We couldn't survive. So we automate the things that are most important to us. But in the same way, if God is really the most important thing in our life, then automate your giving to make sure that you're generous, that it's consistent, that you don't fall behind so that you can stay on track. Even if it's a small amount, give generously by making it a regular part of your life. You can automate your giving today. You just go to our website, church website, livingwaterchurch.faith. Click on the Give tab, and there's all the things you can fill out. Or Dick Lothian, where are you? Dick in the back. You know, if you find Dick, he can get you a form and he can help you. He would love to help you out. He's the one that tracks what is given to the church. And so I hope that you would consider that, automating your giving if you haven't already. Well, we're learning from Paul how to develop this essential quality of giving. We start out by saying give something. Just get started. And then give regularly. And then here's the next step to becoming more generous. This is where we struggle. And that is dedicate my finances to God by returning the full tithe to his church. Dedicate my finances to God by returning the full tithe to his church. Now, when you get started and you give something, that's really important. It's an important step, but you got to realize that giving something is just partial obedience. It's a partial step towards the generosity that God wants us to develop in our life. And the truth is that partial obedience eventually becomes disobedience if you stay there too long. It's not where God wants us to be. The next step towards generosity is giving the full tithe to God. Now, let me explain this. When you tithe, you're returning to God what already belongs to God in order to show that he's first place in your life. A great passage to illustrate this is from Malachi chapter 3. Beginning in verse 8. And so that passage says, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. Man, that's some strong language in this verse. This is God saying that you robbed me. Well, how could we be robbing God? And he says, but you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. So God says, you're robbing me when you don't bring the full tithe back to me. Because of that, I'm not blessing you. You're under this curse. And it continues, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you'll not have enough room for it. So let's just take a moment and kind of break down this passage. First of all, God says that we need to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Underline that phrase, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Now, a tithe simply means returning to God the first 10% of what he's blessed you with financially. To do that, to show that he's first place in your life. Then the scripture says, bring that tithe, the first 10%, to God's storehouse. So in other words, bring the 10% of what God has blessed you to the place that you go to where you worship. Now, in the Old Testament, that would have been the temple. But in the New Testament, in present day, this is the local church that you attend. But what does it mean that we're robbing God when we don't tithe? Well, the Bible teaches that all good things in our life, all of them, are gifts from God. Every good thing in our life comes from God. Our life, our talents, our careers, our family, our possessions, our money, they're all gifts from God. It comes from God, and it belongs to God. So God says, I want you to honor me by bringing back to me the first 10%. Not all of it, but bring back the first 10% of what I've blessed you with. God says that first 10% is holy. It's set apart. It belongs to me. It doesn't belong to you. And when you bring it back to me, it shows me that I'm in first place in your life. And so when you keep it, when you don't choose to tithe, then you are robbing God. And this passage says you're under a curse. And God won't bless your life the way he wants to because you've not kept this, because you've kept what is his. So here's an example. This is just to kind of bring it down to an easy thing to grab our heads around. You know, I've got 10 $1 bills, right? That just shows you how poor I am, right? So I got 10 $1 bills. This is going to represent a monthly income. And so just pretend this is how much you make in a month. And so of those 10, the first dollar of the 10 then belongs to God, and the rest of it then is for you to use however you would want to use for the things that you need. And so we bring that first 10% back to God. And I don't know about you, but I think that's actually a pretty good deal, because God could have said, you know, I want you to give me back 90%, and you got to figure out how to live on 10%. But he didn't do that. He says, just bring the first 10% back to me, it belongs to me, and then you can live off the rest. Now notice the blessings. God says something here that he doesn't say anywhere else in the Bible. He says, test me. He says, you have permission to test me in this. Try it. If this seems impossible to you, too good to be true, try it and see that I don't open the doors of heaven and pour out blessings into your life. Not a sprinkle, not just a little bit of increase, but floodgates. A flood of blessings into your life. When you give back, when you learn how to be generous. And I don't know about you, but I would much rather live on 90% of my income that's blessed by God than 100% of it if it's under a curse and not blessed. And so this is what I've discovered in my own life. I do better financially living on 90% than I do when I'm living on 100% of my income. And I know that doesn't make any logical sense. But I've just seen it be true in my life over and over and over again. I am more careful with my discretionary spending of my 90% than I am when I have the full 100% of my income. I am more careful with staying in with my means when I have 90% to work with. I am a lot more careful what debt comes into my life when I have that 90% instead of when I'm at that 100%. And supernaturally, somehow, God stretches 90% to just be a lot more than that 100% is. And I don't know how he does it completely, but I've seen it over and over and over again in my life. And I'm not special in this. This is simply how God has set the universe to work. This is how God works in our life. And you might be thinking, well, Pastor Todd, you know, I get what you're saying. You know, I want to tithe. I will. I'll start when I have more money. You know, I'm going to take a step forward. I'm going to start tithing just as soon as I get that full-time job. or just as soon as I get that raise I'm supposed to be getting, or that bonus, or a new better paying job, or as soon as I, maybe as soon as I pay down some of my debt, that's when I'm going to start tithing. But the reality is, and I want you to hear me on this, if you're not willing to tithe now, you're probably not going to tithe in the future when you have more money. Because here's the truth. It's a lot harder to give 10% when you have $1 million than it is to give 10% when you have $40,000. So it's important that you develop this habit now, even if you're not making as much as you feel you need. Decide to move to obedience and begin this tithing process now. Because when you tithe, it truly reveals the priorities that's in your life. It shows that God is in first place in your life, and you're going to trust Him to care for your needs. God blesses you when He puts you in that first place, when you put Him in first place. And I know I've been there. There was a time when I was tithing, and then my finances just got off track. I had some things that happened, and my bills got higher than how much money I was bringing in, so I stopped tithing because I was just trying to get the bills paid, and it just got worse and worse and worse until finally God confronted me and said, "You need to start tithing again." And I said, "But God, I'm not making enough to pay the bills. How could I ever start tithing?" And God said, "You need to start tithing." So I did. And it isn't like the bills all of a sudden miraculously went away. I still had to figure out how to deal with this. Now I've got 10% less. But slowly, after making some tough decisions, after making some hard sacrifices, things got better. God began blessing. And then I was able to work my way out of that challenging situation. But things didn't get better until I made that decision to start tithing. There's something powerful about this principle that God has set up in His Word. In fact, our next verse, Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 23, says, "The purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your lives." Now, to help you do this, if this is something that's not part of your life right now, is I will have a challenge for you. And that is, for the next 4 months, I want to challenge you to give that 10% to God, to tithe. Today I want to give you an opportunity to test God on this by taking a four-month challenge. Just try it for 4 months. It's the third step on your connection card. If you turn that over to the next steps, and if you sense God saying, "You know what, you need to start this. I've been talking to you about this. You've just been resisting it. Now's the time to do it." If you will check mark that box, and this is a big step. You know, I've offered this challenge in the past, and I have seen God do some amazing things through it. People who have never tithed and said, "God, I'm going to take this challenge for 4 months," and then their spiritual growth just took off because God met this financial need in a creative way, or they got an unexpected promotion, or maybe it was their marriage turned around and things just peace entered their life. And here's the truth. I've never had someone who took the four-month challenge who regretted it. Give a second for her to get back up, make sure she's okay. There we go. Well, that's a way to give yourself a heart attack, huh? Slip off the chair. You okay? All right. So I want to give you that. I've never had anyone who's taken this four-month challenge say, "Boy, I wish I had never taken that challenge in my life. I wish I hadn't done it." I've just not had someone do that where they wish they hadn't. So when you take this challenge, you're taking a big step of faith, and I get that. And sometime and saying, "I'm going to return this full tithe for the next 4 months, and so I'm going to put God in first place." And so if you decide to do that, I have a book back in the back that if you check that on your box, I want you to get. It's called The Treasure Principle. It's a small little book that will really encourage you as you begin this process of tithing. And so I encourage you just to take one of those if you decide to check mark that box. And I've heard some people say this. They say, "Well, tithing is an Old Testament concept. It's an Old Testament idea. It's part of the law, and we're under grace now in the New Testament, so God doesn't expect people to tithe anymore. You just need to give something. Tithing isn't a thing anymore, and I guess they believe that God doesn't bless people as they give back to God, but this is really not a true statement about being just an Old Testament principle. So let me show you this. New Testament idea. Jesus' words himself in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Says, what sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites. For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. Then Jesus says, you should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. So here Jesus is really frustrated with these religious teachers because they make such a big deal about tithing, but they don't have the bigger, more important things in their life, like justice and mercy and faith. They just become so legalistic in their understanding of what it means to be a follower of God. Jesus is saying, yes, you need to tithe, but you need to also have these other things in your life. Now, the church in the United States has kind of turned this passage completely upside down. And so now the church in the United States, we're very careful about justice, mercy, and faith. But the church in the United States has abandoned for many people tithing. So much so that they came out with this statistic a few years ago where they found if you reduced everyone who goes to church to the poverty level, and had them tithe just on the poverty level. Okay, so the poverty level right now for one person is $17,310. That's the top of the poverty level. So if everybody tithed at the poverty level, $1,731 a year, that would double how much is coming into the church in the United States today. That is such a sad statement. And explains some of why the church is shrinking so fast in our countries, because we're under this curse. We're not giving back to God what belongs to him. And so before I go to this last step, I want to give you 9 reasons why I tithe. Now, I can't take credit for this list of reasons. I heard it from this pastor, Pastor Russell Johnson. He pastors the Pursuit Northwest Church in Portland, Oregon. But he put this, well, I don't know if he had this in one of his sermons, so I don't know if he took it from someone else or not, but this is what, that's where I heard it. But it just really summarizes really well reasons why I tithe. Number one, and I put this, I think, in your notes if you want to follow along, because it's kind of powerful. Number one, it provides for God's house. Number two, it tells God I trust him. Number three, it creates margin in my life for God to fill. If there's no place for God to intervene in your life, you'll never see him work. Number four, it reminds me I am not my source. Number five, it connects my money to a kingdom purpose. And number six, it gives my job eternal significance. Number seven, it transforms my money into a seed that I invest. Number eight, it breaks greed and self-reliance off my heart. And number nine, it lets everything else in my life know that God is first. Those are some powerful words for tithing. And here's the reality. Tithing isn't really an act of generosity. Tithing is an act of obedience. For I am indebted to God because of his radical generosity towards me, and the least I can do is be obedient in this area. And so Jesus says, as his followers, we should tithe and do the more important things of faith as well. So I hope you consider taking this next step. I hope you'll try that 4-month challenge and just see what God does in your life. And as you do, there's one final step to developing this quality of generosity. Write this down in your notes, and that is to discover the unique blessings of sacrificial giving as God leads me. It's the last step of generosity. Discover the unique blessings of sacrificial giving as God leads me. And so I want you to hear me on this. The primary reason that God blesses you is so that you can be a blessing to others. We're receiving and then we're to release. We're to receive and to release. That comes with whether it's you're receiving from the Bible, you're receiving from prayer, or you're receiving financially. We're to release the blessings in our life to others so that God can give us more. And giving the tithe, that's an important step to developing this essential quality of generosity, but it's not the final step. And here's why. Because ultimately, God wants us to give, not just out of obedience. Ultimately, God doesn't want us to give out of obligation. He wants us to give because we love him. And it's out of gratitude, out of expectation for his blessings and provisions back to us. So what does it mean to give sacrificially as God leads me? Well, it means that there are times in our life that God is going to provide you with opportunities to give more than the tithe, to give sacrificially, to give maybe even when it might hurt a little bit. And that's when we give above our normal tithe. And we had that opportunity last year. When we had that miracle offering, Miracle Sunday, where we were raising money to help us pay the cost to leave the United Methodist denomination and join the Global Methodist denomination. But there are other ways to give sacrificially. It might be something like sitting down with a financial planner and deciding you want to give a portion of your estate back to God when you die. Or it could mean each year that you simply increase how much you give to God each year by 1%. Let's say you're tithing right now, 10%. You say, okay, God, I'm going to give you one more percent in 2025. I'm going to move it up to 11%. And then 2026, you move it up to 12%. But there's many different ways. And you do this not as you just do it, but you do it as God leads you. You do it as the Holy Spirit prompts you. These are moments in your life when God says, I want you to go one more step further, and you respond out of love. This is a Holy Spirit-led thing. And so I want you to see this story of sacrificial giving from the Bible, Mark chapter 12, verse 41. We heard it just a moment ago in the children's message, but I want us to see it again. It says, Jesus went over to a collection box in the temple and sat and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Now, it's interesting here that Jesus took time in his day. You know, he's got 3.5 years of ministry. He knows he's got a limited time. He takes a day and he just sits and watches what people are giving. And he does this because he knows he can make judgments based on how much they're giving, and he knows kind of where they are in their finances, and it gets just an indicator of their hearts. And so he continues, many rich people put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in 2 pennies. He called his disciples to him and said, I assure you, this poor widow has given more than all the others have given. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus. But she, poor as she is, has given everything she has. And I love this story. Notice that Jesus doesn't feel pity for the widow. He doesn't chase her down to try to give her offering back to her. If he had done that, he would have robbed her of the blessing that came through sacrificial giving. Instead, Jesus holds her up as an example for us to follow. When you don't give out of obligation, but you just give out of a heart that is grateful for what God has done for you, that is the essential quality of generosity. So as we think about these different steps in generosity, what is your next step on this quality of bringing generosity into your life? If you're not giving it all, then maybe your next step is just simply to give something to God. And you can get started on this path of generosity. Or maybe you've given sporadically, but you just haven't been consistent with it. So today, maybe your next step is just to automate that giving and say, this is going to be something I'm going to be consistent with. Or maybe you have already started doing that, and you sense God saying, I want you to step up, and I want it to be a full tithe. And to take that 4-month challenge, that might be the next step for you. To begin that, just see what God does in your life. See that God just pours his blessing in your life as you are faithful in this. Or maybe your next step is to lead you to give sacrificially in some way that I have said, or maybe another way that the Holy Spirit is leading you. But what is the next step for you? And we started out today looking at one of the clearest examples of generosity from the life of Paul, and that's the offering he collected for the church that was suffering in Jerusalem. That offering not only united the churches all over that part of the world, but it also planted seeds of generosity into the early church. And God wants to develop this essential quality in your life as well. Because true generosity is growing to the point in your faith where you give because it's a joy. Because of all that God has done in your life. Because he's blessed you with so much and you just want to give to honor him in all that you do. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Beginning in verse 6, it's our final passage for today. Paul writes these words. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And it's between you and God. And God didn't give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves the person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. So the praise band's going to come up, and we're going to sing just a short little chorus. But before we sing that, I'd like us to pray a prayer together. It's a written prayer, but I don't want you just to pray it when you haven't read the words first. And so we're putting up on the screen here the words to the prayer. It's two screens, and so I want to give you a chance to read that first screen while Debbie is playing, and then I'll let Tommy know when to go to the next screen. And then if you feel comfortable, I want us to pray this prayer out loud. So read this prayer silently to yourself first. Make sure you're comfortable with it. Okay, go and go to the next slide. All right, so let's go back to the first slide. If you feel comfortable praying this prayer out loud with me, would you pray these words? God, when it comes to my finances, beginning today, I'm going to trust you. I want to experience your blessing in my life. I want to live generously so that I honor you and so that I bless others through your church. God, I want to experience the joy that comes through giving. And so today, God, I'm putting you first in my finances and first in my life. In Jesus' name, amen.